For us, I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to the last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1. The title of my sermon this morning is Questions from the Heart of God. Questions from the Heart of God. We're going to be looking at the first 8 verses of the book of chapter 1 of the book of Malachi. But before we read God's word, let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for all that you do. We thank you for giving us light. We thank you, Lord, for giving us hope. We thank you for giving us salvation. Father, we believe that you did these things for us. Father, help us and help our unbelief today, Lord, that we will leave this place, Lord, fully invested in you. Lord, I ask that you take away all distraction. I pray that your Holy Spirit will have full reign. I pray that you just help us, Lord, to be more like you, that we would decide the things that we need to do for you, for your glory. Lord, we ask that you just bless the reading of your word and the preaching of it. Father, we ask that we just see lives changed. And Lord, we just thank you for all that you do for us because of your love. We ask these things in Jesus' name, believing that you'll bring it to pass. Send revival today. Help someone understand their need for salvation and get saved today. We ask these things in your Son's precious and holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Malachi chapter 1, verses 1 through 8, it says, "The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, yet I loved Jacob. And I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. They shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. And your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord be magnified from the border of Israel. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts, unto you, O priest, that despise my name? And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon my altar. And ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? And that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts?" You know, we need to understand who was Malachi and what was his mission. Malachi was the last of the prophets in the Old Testament. His mission was to tell the people the burden, the message that God had laid on Malachi's heart. In a way of history, this is the timeline of the Old Testament prophets. Malachi is the very last one. He is slightly behind two men by the name of Ezra and Nehemiah. If you understand what Ezra and Nehemiah did, they restored the temple. They restored the worship. They restored the city. They built the city walls. God has now taken the people out of captivity and brought them into a place where it should be easy to worship Him. But they're not. And so God sends Malachi here at the end. After Malachi, there are 400 silent years. The next person is going to come on a scene as a prophet is a man by the name of John the Baptist. 3 months later, in Bethlehem, Jesus is born. And so, the nation has 400 years to prove it loves God. They are not their own country. They are our province. They get conquered by the Persians. And then they get conquered by the Greeks. And then they get conquered. There's a civil war between the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And they're in the crossfire between Syria and Egypt. And then they're conquered by the Romans. They're not their own free country. And Malachi comes on and he says, look, God has told me to tell you something. And it's interesting that the very first message of Malachi is that God loves you. In verse 2, it says, I have loved you, saith the Lord. This love is expressed to those that are lost. This love is here today. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, but God commanded His love towards us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. God loves us. And He sends us by His prophet. He's ever reaching. His love is ever reaching to the lost. You know, there's a lot of people today that think, well, God doesn't love me. No one loves me and I'm just going to eat worms. No, God loves you. God loves you. Malachi's first message is one of God's love, and it's expressed to those that are straying, especially in this time. In Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3, it says, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with a what? An everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn thee. You know, there's one thing that's constant in the universe of many things from God, and that's God's love.
Amen.
God loves a sinner. God loves the one who follows Him. God loves those that are straying. He wants everyone to return that love back to Him. These people should have known better. They've just come out of captivity over decades of time. And they found out what was going on. And they remember what happened. They should have remembered what happened that sent them into captivity. In Isaiah chapter 65, verse 2, it shows how God's love is to those that are still straying today. He says, I've spread out my hands all day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. Folks, today God has His arms out of love to us. You may be rebelling this morning. You may be lost and not knowing Him as Savior. God loves you. You may be straying away from Him. You may want to return to Him. God loves you. You may be serving Him with all of your heart. God loves you. He has an everlasting love. So Malachi's first message here is one of God's love. Unfortunately, this message of love is met with disbelief. In verse 2, we see at the time of Malachi, he says, wherein hast thou loved us? Wait a second. Aren't you back in Jerusalem? Aren't you back in the temple? Aren't you out of Babylonian captivity? Aren't you hearing the word of God? Aren't you seeing the blessings of God? Aren't you back home? Isn't that enough to understand that God loves you? You know, sometimes we just want more. And we think love is based on what we think it should be instead of what the giver is giving out. So this message of love is met with disbelief at the time. Now Malachi says, wherein hast thou loved us? We've been going through the book of John on Wednesday nights. And Christ is revealing Himself as the Son of God, the Messiah. And He's talked about manna, that He's the bread of life. He says, out of His belly will flow rivers of living water. He's the water of life. Last Wednesday night, He's the light of life. He's the resurrection and the life. But people still did disbelief at the time of Christ. In John chapter 5, verse 47, Christ is given a defense of his position. And he brings them back to Moses. And he says, but if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Folks, we have Bibles everywhere. You can turn on the radio and hear it. You can put it on the TV. You can find it on the internet. God's love is everywhere. But people despise it because they won't follow it.
Right.
Is that the time of Malachi? Is that the time of Christ? And it's at this present time too. And it didn't matter what Christ said to the Pharisees. They still didn't believe. They would eventually say, crucify him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, why do people despise the love of God today? Because Satan doesn't. You know what does America need? Deliverance from Satan. From deliverance from Satan. It says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. See, there's a burden that God has for the people of Israel. There's a burden that God has for us today. And he sends his messenger Malachi. He sends his messenger the word of God. He sends this message today. And Malachi poses three questions from God in this passage. We went and we studied the book of Malachi. And we see there's a lot more questions asked. There's a lot more problems that they had. But we're not going to get into all that today. We're just going to look at these three questions. The first one is found in verse 6. He says, if I am a father, where is my honor? If I am a father, where is my honor? The word father here, it's a good word. But when you translate it, and you see the translation, it talks about an intimate connection with one. See, a father is to love and provide. A father remains faithful when others desert us. A father doesn't let children will suffer when their father's not at home. You know, in Matthew chapter 7, Christ himself says, he says, if your son comes and asks you for bread, are you going to give him a stone? Or are you going to give him a serpent? He says, if you being evil know how to give good things to your children, how much more should your heavenly Father give things? James says that every good gift and every perfect gift come from above, from the Father of lights. From the Father of lights. And Malachi is telling the people, he says, if God's your Father, where is his honor? In Psalm chapter 36, verse 7, it says, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men, that's everyone, the children of men puts their trust under the shadow of thy wings. You know, you could say that God doesn't exist, but he's still there. You could say that God doesn't exist, but he still loves you.
Amen.
So we see the word Father. How is God our Father? Well, he is everyone's father because we are his offspring because he's created us. Well, my mom and dad had me. Well, how did that happen? God made that to happen. Remember that Paul was walking through Athens one day. And he's looking at all these temples and all these idols to all these gods that they had made up in their minds. And he comes to the one that says the unknown God. And Paul started preaching about Christ. But Paul writes here in Acts chapter 17, verse 28, says, for in him, in who? In God. The air we breathe, where did it come from? God. The ground we stand on, where did it come from? God. The families we have, where did it come from? God. It says, for in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. We are created in the image of God. And man has messed that up today. He's messed that up today. We are his offspring through creation, but not all are God's spiritual children. We're taking it out of the physical and we're going to put it into the spiritual. Christ was talking to the religious crowd of the day. In John chapter 8, verse 44, he says, "Ye are your father the devil." You either have one of two fathers. God in heaven is your father, or Satan going to hell is your father.
Right.
One of the two. There is no middle ground.
Right.
He says, "Ye are of your father the devil." He's talking to the religious ones. "And the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, because he is a liar and the father of it." Not all are God's spiritual children. We become God's spiritual children by receiving Christ. That is the expression of God's love. You look at the cross, that is God's love. You look at Christ on the cross, that is God's love. In John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Have you received the love of God through salvation in Jesus Christ? If you have, he is your father. He is your father. We need to honor our Heavenly Father by honoring his Son. In John chapter 5, verse 23, it says that all men should honor the Son, even as they honored the Father. And then here's the kicker. "He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him." John goes on further in the book of 1 John. He says, "He that has the Son hath the Father also. He that denieth the Son denies the Father also." So Malachi asks the people, he says, if he is your father, where is his honor today? We ask the same question in this modern time. If God is the Father, where is his honor? We must honor our Father with our lives and not just with our lips. In Mark chapter 7, verse 6, there are too many people that have words but not works. They say the right things at this time, and then they say the right things at another time, and sometimes they don't agree. In Mark chapter 7, verse 6, he says, "He answered and said to them, Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." They had Isaiah. They should have understood what Malachi's question was all about. He said, "You call me Father, but where's my honor?" Folks, we have the Bible. We know who God the Father is. We know of him. And if he is your father, where is his honor? We need to honor God with our substance. The Father with our substance. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of what? All thine increase." Not what you think you can spare, but all your increase. You know why? Because Christ in the Sermon on the Mount said this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. He says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So Israel, Malachi's time, had a problem. They had it all. But they turned their back on God. They had despised the love of God because he said, "Where you loved us?" Today, we're in the same boat, folks. God holds out his hands. He says, "I would want to be your father. Will you receive me?" If he is, do you honor me? Do you honor me with your life? Do you honor me with your substance? Do you honor me? The second question is, if I'm your master, where is my fear? Now the word master here is a word of dedication. It's a disciple's word. Is a disciple's word. In Psalm chapter 123, verse 2, it says, "Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that He have mercy on us. Folks, He is our Father. He should be your Father today. He is our Master. It is a word of showing we will do what you ask us to. And it says, He says, if I'm your Master, where's my fear? Fear means to surrender. Fear means to respect. Fear means to provide reverence that is due. In Psalm 135, verse 20, it says, bless the Lord, O house of Levi. Ye that what? Fear the Lord. Bless the Lord. Folks, when we say that we love God, we need to show it. When we say we respect God, we're surrendering. When we sing that song, I surrender all, do you really mean it? He wants all of us. You know something? We're not our own. We're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, which is His. It's His. If I am your Master, where is my fear? Master is a disciple's word. One to be respected. Fear is to show reverence to. The disciples followed Jesus and called Him Master. Disciples out fishing. And they struggled all night. They haven't caught anything. In Luke chapter 5, verse 5, it says, and Simon, or Peter, answered and said, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. You know, sometimes we feel like that, don't we? Sometimes we feel that we're working for God, we're not getting anywhere. He's still your Master. He still deserves respect. He still deserves reverence. He still deserves surrender. He still deserves honor because He is our Father. But look at what Peter says. Really, God? No, we're not going to do this. We know better. There's no fish out there. Why are we wasting your time? Make us waste your time. And he said, nope. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And what happened? They caught so many fishes, the boat was sinking. See, what good things could happen in our life if we really made Jesus our Master? If we really made Him our Lord? Paul called himself a servant in Romans chapter 1, verse 1. It says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. We are called to be His disciples. We are called to be His witnesses. We are called to be His hands and His feet. We are called to be a church without spot or wrinkle. We are called. He is our Master. We need to respect Him. Amen. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Who is your Master this morning? Who is your Master? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Christ, 400 years later, asked this penetrating question to those that were following Him. Just like God, Jehovah, asked the nation of Israel through Malachi. Luke chapter 6, verse 46, it says, why call ye me Lord, Lord? You remember everybody that came up to Jesus and asked me questions, said, good Master? 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 They paid Him lip service. Folks, don't pay God lip service anymore. Pay Him labor service. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? You know, if you go to school and the teacher says do this homework or do this assignment and you don't do it, you expect to get an A? People today expect you to, I attended. I get a participation trophy. No, you get an F. Because you didn't do what was required. Amen. If we go to a job and we get hired and our boss tells us to do something, they say, nah. I'm going to do it. You're going to get promoted, right? You get fired. Folks, today we treat God, our Father, and our Master. He says, will you do this for me? And we say, no. And we say, well, he loves me. It's okay. It's not okay, folks. If I'm your father, where is my honor? If I am a master, where is my fear? And you know, the point is that this attitude that the Israelites had toward Jehovah played out in their worship and their sacrifice in the temple. If you offer sick and blind animals to sacrifice, is it not evil? Well, by the way, they were breaking God's law, just like the people that brought the woman in adultery when we talked about last Wednesday night. They broke God's law because they didn't bring the man. See, the priests were polluting the altar with inferior sacrifices. And folks, we are polluting the church with inferior service. We're doing the same thing. We think it's good enough. It should be the best we have to offer. You know, the sacrifices were supposed to be without spot, blemish. It's supposed to be whole. Because there was a picture coming. What God wants out of us is what David figured out in Psalm 51, verse 17. It says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou will not despise. But God, over the years, has said, your sacrifices sicken me. Your worship sickens me. Even your solemn assembly sickens me. Because you're saying this, and then you're going and you're doing that. You say, this is what I want, and you're doing something else because that's what you want. He says, you're offering the wrong sacrifice. You're offering the sick and the blind, the stuff that didn't cost you anything. And you're keeping the best for yourself. See, the whole point is they didn't picture the coming perfect Lamb of God. All these things about sacrifice was to show them that Christ was coming. 400 years in the future, Christ was going to come. He was going to sit on, he was going to be crucified on the cross. They had the words of Isaiah. Isaiah 53, verses 3 through 6 says, he is despised and rejected of men. They hadn't learned anything in 200 years, had they? They continued to do it. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it was our faces from him. He was despised, and we what? We esteemed him not. If I am a father, where is my honor? If I am a master, where is my fear? If I say these are the sacrifices that I require, why aren't you doing them? We esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep are gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Folks, that's love. That's love. Christ gave his life for us. He holds his hands open to us. And he wants honor and he wants respect and he wants the right sacrifice. But they missed the point. They got into ritualism. They got into religion instead of a relationship with God. Christ was to be the perfect sacrifice that he is. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, it says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. See, when they were offering the blemished and the inferior animals, they were basically saying, God, you're not worth it. I'll save my best for myself, and I won't give you my best. I won't do what you're telling me to do, and you're asking me to do. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. You know what Paul wrote? He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. That's what God wants today. He didn't get it back in Malachi's time. Is he going to get it today from us? Is he going to get it today? God has given his best for us. We ought to give our best to him.
Amen.
Do you know him as your Savior? If you don't, he's only your physical father. He wants to be your spiritual father today. If he is your spiritual father, are you honoring him? Is he Lord in your life? Is he master in your life? Do we reverence him enough? If not, the problem is not his, it's us. What service are we doing? Are we just giving God our spare time? Are we giving God what is rightly his? That's the point this morning. Those three questions still ring out from heaven. We still hear them today. How are we going to respond to them? Let's follow Christ today.